Good morning, everyone. How's everyone doing today? Welcome back to the Explicit Measures podcast with Tommy, Seth, and Mike. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This has been a busy week this week. We've had a lot of sessions and video already. I think we've already done, well, we did an Explicit Measure podcast on Tuesday, and then I had two sessions, two user groups on Wednesday. So we just went through the Power Apps, basically DevOps. You know, we have used this SharePoint storage location for our Power BI files. Well, Steve Campbell and Anthony Escobedo came up with this really awesome solution. It's a Power App that manipulates Power BI files back and forth and around in SharePoint. So you don't have to do check-in, check-out. It automatically does it for you. You can add comments. You can check out multiple files. You can check in multiple files. Really, I mean, they've spent some time on this Power App. It's pretty stinking cool. And you can embed the Power App directly in Teams, which then means you don't even need to go to SharePoint to manage your files. They did a great job. So I highly recommend their stuff. And on Wednesday night, Matthew Roach spoke at the Des Moines, Iowa user group.
The first event, right?
Well, not a first. It's community. They used to have a community.
The revival
of the community. And so no pressure, you know. But we had a good number of people show up for that event. I love Matthew. He got really passionate about it. He was very energetic. It was a great, engaging talk. And I kept telling him, I said, look, in a podcast, I keep doing the triangle thing. The triangle is what I use all the time in the podcast, and people can't even see it. And I make the sign with my hands because I think that governance document and how he walks through governance and data culture is absolutely phenomenal. So that's another one to go watch if you haven't seen that one already. The thought, I mean, this is 20 plus years of Matthew's experience working on data culture. And a lot of his ideas are formed by, like, we have formed a lot of how we handle things in companies based on what he's saying. So anyways, those were some fun events this week so far. Anything you guys got going on?
Man, I'm trying to work on a data set and a demo for the goals so we can do that for a user group.
Goals demos.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm just trying to figure, I'm using like the Van Arsdale data set. So something like anyone can apply.
Sure.
But I'm like, oh wait, it's all 2016 data. Like, so basically set up a data flow. So it's actually pulling every day. So we'll actually add new information.
Oh, nice.
That's the only way the scorecard can work.
Yeah. Yep.
So we'll give it a month and then I'll develop the scorecard and then we can do that. I am such a proponent of the scorecard. I this user group, hopefully in January, will prove it to you.
I'm looking forward to be proven.
Yeah. I cannot wait to prove it.
Speaking of proving, Tommy was trying to find the comma inside Tabula Editor for putting syntax in front. I got to go find this thing.
The expression editor, not a query.
Oh, yeah, sold us on this new thing.
I know.
Like,
shady me. That's what happens when I read Twitter.
And I think you checked the tape, and I asked the question, I'm like, I don't think it's for the expression editor. Like, yeah, it's for everything.
I'm like, I thought it was. I could be wrong. I owe someone a steak, apparently.
Well, I'm full of things.
No bets were made. Awesome. Well, today's topic, Tommy, kick us off. What's going on with today's topic? And maybe give us right before you take a drink, right? Kick us off, Tommy. What's today's topic for today? And what are we going to talk about?
I'm excited for this one, unlike other ones where I'm also excited. But I think this one especially because even though themes have talked about them and you should be using themes, I think they're still a very undervalued and underrated feature for the development of a Power BI report. And what I mean by that is most people, you probably apply a theme, a company theme. They use the theme generator and do the basic things, or they just use the UI and Power BI, and that's fine. But I think I've been diving in more and more to David Aerosold, but actually Matt Rudy took it over and he updates it like monthly. Like all the configurations, all the nitpicky components of what you can do with a theme file, and seeing how powerful that can be when you actually apply it, like all these different settings. And I don't think that is considered enough. You know, I know some people maybe go into it and really detail, you know, every theme file or, you know, all the parts of it. But I think what you can actually do with that and the different types of themes you can create, I think is just something that's not talked about enough or considered to be about like that marginally better than just using a basic color palette. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of the idea here is basically why they're, I don't think we have to explain why they're important. We can introduce it, but you know, just talk about the real benefits of it and then how much can you do with it?
Yeah, I think there's like a little bit of a surface area thing here for people who are not familiar or who are new to themes in general. You know, why are, what are they and what are they in aiming to do? A little bit there first. So maybe Seth, maybe you want to give us just a kind of a quick synopsis of, you know, what is the theme? Like, what is the theme file and how do we interact with it?
Yeah, I think originally it just was created to stem the rising tide of complaints about people having to set colors in every single object.
Yes.
Because it's painful. Right?
Totally.
So I think the original version was just colors, right? So basically you can choose a color palette and it's going to be the default palette that when you're creating objects and dropping data into line and bar charts, like consistently, you're going to get the same repetitive behavior as far as the same colors showing up and not having to create each one of those or set each one of those property elements in all of your objects, which if you've been around a while and even today, right? Like if you don't even use themes, you know what that's like.
Yeah.
Right? Like every single object, you're changing like 10 things. And when you start building multi-page reports and investing a lot of time in things, it gets really irritating really quick if somebody's like, yeah, that's great, but I don't like that yellow. Or that's great, but I like this theme, you know, I like this font, right? And as themes has evolved, obviously, we opened up the doors to many different properties within each one of the objects, you know, in the report canvas, and for all intents and purposes, the majority of properties that you can set in a Power BI file can be controlled by a theme. So when you utilize them, they're a huge time savings device, as well as a mechanism for you to get consistency in all of your report objects without all the manual work. So it's kind of twofold, right? It serves that purpose of cleaning things up for an end user, because I don't care how good you are, if you have 100 objects on a throughout a report, you're going to miss something if you're manually setting all the properties.
Yep.
And somebody is going to notice it. So it's a good way to create consistency.
And I think that's even like across reports, like not every time, you know, you'll build one report, right? Like, especially in like an embedded scenario, or when you're trying to build a style guide for a company or a collection of things, assets that are all looking similar, right? You want it to be of the same family. Companies spend thousands of dollars, tens of thousands of dollars on their branding, getting their logo right, getting their colors right. And you want that portrayed in your visuals as well to some degree.
Yeah. The thing that you and I jumped on right away, right, when themes came out, was like obviously building the theme generator and getting engaged in helping the community understand that they existed is something that still strikes me as hilarious, right? Like we spend so much time on the engineering aspect of the data, right? Because that's, you know, the value is in the data. And it is. But it's important to have this conversation, because most people just blow by the UI aspects of things, right?
Yes.
And the interesting thing that you and I, Mike, have experienced over the many years, because we had many conversations, pre-conferences around UI, UX of Power BI, how do you make reports more effective in that final layer, is that, you know, people don't spend the time to think about that level, and that's the presentation layer, you know, and it strikes me as, you know, recently, when you think about a lot of the things that happen within an organization in your job and your work, like you may be absolutely crushing it. Like you may be like overproducing and, you know, solving huge problems, But if you're not presenting how you're doing that to the right audience, right? Mm-hmm. If you're not hitting some original objectives, you could be viewed as like, oh, you're the guy that's not doing anything, or you're the gal. Because there's a presentation layer of being able to communicate what you're doing effectively.
Yep.
And it's the same thing with data. Like, you can be a whiz and you can be the best person in the world as it relates to like modeling DAX, like putting the thing out there.
Yep.
But if you put it out there in such a way that is not effectively feeding the aesthetics of how somebody, you know, engages with a screen and information, then you're being less effective in that communication of data. And that's where themes plays a huge role in creating, you know, one of those elements, which is just consistency and appropriate color palettes and, you know, things like that throughout your reports.
And I love that this is on the tails of 7 Reasons DAX is Not Easy, because we're literally just saying, someone's like, I just got my DAX measure to work. The numbers are right. What else do you
ship
want
it
from me, guys?
Ship
yeah,
it.
Yeah, like I have my year over year and I have my rolling and it's right. So how much is that color going to make a difference?
Yeah.
And I think that's what we usually think, because you spend all this time just trying to get a number right. And once you do, the number on the visual is correct.
Yeah,
like I have it right. It works in every capacity. But I really love what you said. I think there's so many different kind of branches from what you said. But you're right, though. At the end of the day, if you have, you know, colors that are off, or just kind of a crappy presentation, or even if you have your visuals aligned but the colors just don't, you know, make sense to the user, the number itself, they might not even overlook if the number is accurate or not.
Correct.
Because that's the first veil for someone to kind of understand a report. It's not the numbers. It's their first look.
There's a great question
from
Keith. I'll try and get the names right here. Keith from YouTube is asking a question, you know, how long should you spend on themes for a presentation or building a report? And what I would argue, and I think, Tommy, you've made this point very clear, and I think we talked about this as well, what is the audience and what is the intended surface area of that report? So I think there is a level of measure, right? So, you know, I don't know if I can put like a formula to it, right? For every 10 hours you're doing data modeling, spend an hour theming it or something like that. I think people will theme it or, you know, design the page faster than others potentially. But I do think, to the point I think both of you are making here, is there is this last mile hurdle that, if you do all this work and you get it right here to the very end, you're to the finish line, it's like running a race and then sitting down on the curb when you can see the finish line. I feel like it's like you've done all this work, you've made all this presentation work to get the data, and a lot of that's hidden, can't see it, and then you stop early and say, we're not going to kind of finish it. And I think this is where I think things get a little bit hard, because what we're doing in report building, it's kind of arts and it's kind of science. Like, it's kind of like, it's kind of a mix of both, because it's very technical, but then there's like a very big creative part to this other side of it. Do I use a background? How do I employ that? What is the UI UX looking like? So I think there's a muscle memory here a bit around, I'm not good at designing things. What I am good at is knowing what I like and what I don't like. So that they say is great artists steal, or good artists borrow, or great artists steal, or something like that. I go out and find things that I like, apps, websites, images, like just stuff I find across the internet. It's like, that looks cool. That's interesting.
Right.
And one of the ones that I found an image. It's the sunset layout that we produce from Power BI Tips. And it was picked up by Microsoft for a number of months, where they were using that layout as the background image for a lot of their monthly videos. They would use that as the basis, because it was a good looking report. So that actually made its way onto powerquery.com. So you actually can go to powerquery.com, and halfway down the page you'll see my report with the Power BI Tips cropped out at the bottom edge there, but you'll see my report on that page. But it was a good looking report. Some of that was done with theming, but again, it was like that last mile hurdle. There was some data on the page, but it's also making that aesthetic and the user appeal of that report look good, right? And so it's picking a good color palette. I think people are attracted to things that have been well designed, I think.
Well, I don't even think attracted. And I think, to really kind of put your guys's point or emphasize it, it's you don't have to be a graphic designer or go to graphic design school to effectively do a theme, but you need to think about it. If you're going on a first date, you may have your life in order and be a gentleman, but if you're wearing ragged clothes, your jeans are ripped or they're too baggy, like, it doesn't matter what kind of career you have or how funny you are, because that's the first impression. And I think for a lot of consumers, again, they're not going to, not that they don't care as long as the data is right, but a lot of people, that it's almost too of a hurdle.
Yes.
If there's inconsistent colors,
yep,
and the colors, you know, contrast, where they won't even get to the data point. So
there's little UI things that you can do in themes, like turning off the header bar. Like, I think in some of my themes, like, the default behavior should be header bars off all the time. And then you only turn them on things you want people to export, like a table. So there's certain things that are defaulted into desktop that I think should actually be defaulted off. And that's where a theme does a good job of, like, peanut butter spreading across all of the tools or all of the visuals. Hey, this is going to always be on or off. Sorry, Seth.
No, it's we dovetailed a little bit into layouts, right? Scrims, yep. which is...
They're hand in hand.
Hand in hand, right?
Yep.
Like it's visualization. So, like, we probably talk about that in ad nauseum too. But I think there is a distinction here, Mike, in that when you're building for a, you know, unique theme or layout, or, you know, even pick one, I guess, right? So maybe back up. If you have a layout, right? You have a report page that looks and feels the same way. Your theme that you build is going to meet the same types of requirements. It's not a report by report build, though, and it doesn't have to be. And I think that's what's really important to understand with themes, and why I commented in a different way in the chat there, is themes are a one-time build. Like, if you're going to create, like, an organizational theme, how long should it take? In my answer would be as long as it takes, because it's a one-time activity that you can just reuse and get automatic consistency with a ton of different reports.
Yes.
So the value in how far that time stretches versus not doing a theme and then having to add an hour to every single report ad nauseum going forward, that's where the value, you're saving tons of time.
Right.
When you just invest it up front in pre-thinking about, okay, like, I'm going to get agreement across the organization. We're going to use this font. I'm not going to use headers. Mm-hmm. Like, the defaults for everything are going to be the same way. And here's the color theme, right? Like, boom, just loading a theme file into a template, right? Like, that's part of your template. And now you have a Power BI file and you don't even have to worry about themes because everybody's going to be using the same thing. So I think my point being there is, like, themes are certainly colors. We kind of dovetailed and glossed over, but fonts, every single setting that you could have in a, you know, particular visualization. So if it took a week for me to walk through with the UI UX team or my team or whatever in the business to, you know, define in objects what our defaults are going to be and then just set those in a theme file. And if only there was a tool where we could do all that to generate the JSON file. And there is themes.powerbi.com, where
that is the tool that's out there. I think that's the one that's been out the longest from my recollection.
It's still the best one out there.
Yeah.
But, like, ultimately, like, tools like that simplify the process, because behind the scenes, a theme is nothing other than just massive JSON file that holds all these configuration settings that you can upload into your Power BI file. Mm-hmm. So I think what I want to stress is, like, it's a one-time thing, and depending on how much reuse you're going to get from it might dictate, like, how much time you spend in it, because it's going to be worth it if you use it a lot.
Yeah, and let's emphasize, I think the two benefits we've talked about is obviously having that professional and consistent.
Sorry, there's a comment, unless the company rebrands. It's like, well, yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully it's just a couple colors.
Yeah, right? Well, but emphasize, like, the time-saving side. Like, I mean, the ability to make sure your column headers are always aligned center, or making sure that the like the background color, like the alternating row color, that you can have that done, yep. Or the data type where you don't have to say auto for like a data card. That types of things that you do over and over again, how much time saving. And yes. I think that other side we're talking about is being consistent, where one matrix that you have, you know, has blue and the other one has a weird green because you forgot that there are different colors and different visuals. Keeping consistent is huge. And again, I don't think it's no longer a question of should you have a theme. It's really, I think, to what extent.
Yes. Yeah. So that is, so one thing that I'm looking at right now, or there's some things that are coming down from the Power BI Tips Themes event, right? There's so many features coming out all the time. And so there's a couple places, and I think, you know, Tommy talked a little bit about his workflow about themes in the past. He typically starts with the Power BI Tips Theme Generator to get started, some of the general structure down, especially if you're going to be doing like custom themes for individual visuals. It's, you know, that's like the starting point. And then Tommy, you've said you've gone into like David Eldersveld, and there's actually another gentleman now who's maintaining that repo that has a lot more features. And that's one thing that is on my backlog, is to get all of those featured items into the theme generator. So the end goal of the Power BI Tips theme is to have as many as possible and as all the themes as I can on that same, Matt Rudy, there it is.
Yeah.
He's got another great collection of that. So the goal is to take all of the work that Matt Rudy has done and absorb that into our theme generator so that all those features are there. And if you've noticed, there's also a couple other things here that are interesting. Like, for example, like let's just say you don't really know what a color palette would look, like what color palette would look good in a visual. So we actually have another tool that also helps you just kind of like randomly select things across the community. And I'm working on trying to make it a bit more, you know, favorite the things that you like, give you some more of the top downloaded themes, those kind of things as well. But you can actually go to gallery.powerbitips, and that's where you have color palette gallery. And so in this area, you can actually click on a color palette and then see what that palette looks like on an actual Power BI report, which I think is pretty stinking sweet from a functional standpoint. And that part there, that combines like where I want to go with the tool is there's no reason why we need to be jumping between theme generator and desktop. I have the ability to like render a theme on a visual inside that tool. So we'll see how we'll see where we can go with this, but the goal eventually will be is to take all the theme files, get everything, all the features absorbed, and then as you change the themes, show a visual right there and update the visual in real time. And so there's a lot of things coming down the road. There's just a lot more work that needs to be done on the back end to make sure things work correctly. But that would be like the goal for the tool is make it that single stop shop, right? What I would like to do is have, you know, sit down with theme.power BI tips with the designer and say, okay, here's what you can build. These are all the settings you can tweak on a visual. You don't even need a desktop. Go through here, Mr. Designer, and pick out what you like. Pick out the features that you think you want on or off. Here's what is possible. This is the art of the possible for the theme settings for different visuals. You can turn things on and off. Here's all the settings. Pick what you want, and then you kind of auto-generate all of the theme file, and then you just drop it down and put it back in your report.
Man, if you could basically do a real-time report where I can actually edit the theme and see it without having to import, take my money. Because that's just the hardest part of that. So
you wait, yeah, Tommy. Stuff's coming.
Take my money. What do you want? So, and I think we can get to the colors too, because there's a few resources I use, especially when you're doing something brand specific, to kind of get like a theme. Because sometimes your brand colors, you know, or your company colors don't really jive with data visualization.
Totally.
Which I have found, unfortunately.
Yeah.
We're like, oh, these are orange, red, and yellow. Great. That
really fit.
So, right. So
we just made a bunch of hot dogs all over the page because it's orange and red. And like, why does this look like a ketchup commercial? Like, I don't understand.
There's a book. It's basically like basic design theory. And they literally give that example of like, what's wrong with this visual? And it's like, it's a hot dog. It's ketchup and mustard. So you know, like, but things like that make it even. It's like, oh, but we're McDonald's.
Exactly. Yes.
So, we could definitely get to those tools. But unless you had anything else on that, I wanted to pose something.
Yeah, pose it.
In terms,
I don't have anything else. I think those are good.
Okay. In terms of like, obviously, you have a company theme, but I think the question is, to what extent do you create themes in terms of, let's say you work for a client, you work for a company, is it a one theme per company kind of mix, or how detailed or diversified should you be with themes for a given organization? And I'll ask that, but then I'll give a little brief explanation, or at least a background. So we have actually developed themes per every Power BI app, just because you have that background color. So kind of giving each department their own kind of color palette. They're all somewhat mixed with the brand, but they're also much more, it feels much more embedded in the workspace, or at least in the Power BI app. And I found that to be better. So, you know, marketing is green, or at least this kind of underlying green, so to speak, where kind of they all mix together, especially with color theory, makes more sense, rather than having like CompTIA is a contrasting red. So, you know, it kind of limits your options a little. But if you were to have, again, just a given organization, is it really, no, it's use the brand colors and that's it? Or how involved should you be in terms of different color palettes for a theme?
Oh, this is a good question. Seth, what are your thoughts on that one? I gotta still think about how I would answer this one.
Yeah, I was just gonna say.
I'm like, I need a moment to chew on this.
Kick it over. You always kick it over to somebody else when you want some more time.
I don't know what to say. Seth, it's your turn.
I think
too bad I don't put the agenda up earlier, but you know,
if only I spent a little time.
you guys are getting a great program here.
I think colors are the easiest thing to change, right? As long as you set them up right.
Yes.
If you're just using the high level colors across, yeah, as opposed to changing a color within, you know, each area, I would say this is a good thought exercise around like how you would set up themes within an org, right? I think there could be some standardized things and should be across the theme for the whole part, right? Whether it's font, default settings, the things that you want consistency across.
Yes.
And then even if you are mucking around with the JSON file, it would be the easiest thing to be like, okay, but I want to change these colors because the app is going to be in this color and I'm just going to swap out this blue with this dark green or something, or, you know, like something to that effect is going to be a really easy change in the file itself without having to regenerate a whole theme file or, you know, whatever. So I think, yeah, there can certainly be variation, but there should also be a consistency between the different reports, you know, from app to app.
So here's where, so Miguel Myers from Microsoft does a really good job of walking you through like what is the color theory and what, how many colors and what colors should be used. I think one time ago he made a presentation where he talked about a color wheel and he said there should be basically three primary colors on your theme. That's it, three primary colors. And then the other color, like if you think about like the eight colors that you have access to, I've done some testing around like how many colors can you throw in this thing? You can throw in a lot. I did a presentation at one of the MBAZs where I had 100 color palettes, 100 colors going from like red all the way down through the color palette. And
we found the break point. Right?
Well, it didn't break. It just kept working. So like I had 100 colors. I had 100 bars on a bar chart. And the bar chart eventually at some point got like a little bit, like you couldn't see the colors anymore, but you could make a full color gradient scale. It just, at some point, like when you're building a report, sometimes you're trying to pose distinction between the colors. So having so many colors, like if you pick like a blue and say, I'm going to just do shades of blue, and you pick just the color palette to be shades of blue, right? That works to a point. But when you have two color bars next to each other that are so close in color, you're really not getting the action that you want, which was like, I'm trying to highlight something. Like, what am I trying to do with the color? So when we talk about color and color palettes, I really think you're kind of picking your three primary colors. And then most everything else on the report is derived from those primary colors. And if you talk to Alper, who's from the Microsoft team, that's very visually designed, front facing around all that visual stuff. There's this concept of like, there's just, you know, there's all these color classes and text classes. So these are properties that can modify multiple elements in your theme file. Highly recommend using them because it saves you a lot of extra work in other settings inside the file. So you define these higher level classes. But if you think about it, you know, titles and things, if you can derive them from different colors, but the three primary colors are maybe on the bar charts or on the charts you have, but you can then take shades or transparencies of those colors.
Right.
And so one of the unique differences between the TIPS theme generator and other ones that I've seen is most other theme generators require you to put in a hex code. And so the Power BI TIPS theme generator requires that you build a color palette, and then from the color palette, you pick shades of that color up or down, depending on what you need. And that's all based on code, which is really interesting, because you can pick a dark blue as part of your color palette, but then you can take that dark blue and you can actually, with an expression, modify the color slightly. You can turn up the darkness or turn down the color and make it a little bit more white. So you actually have infinite color palette capabilities. So let me go back to Tommy's question. I'm kind of went off a tangent there. I apologize. So how much
is... All good points, though.
Yeah, all good points.
All important.
But random things, random thoughts out of my head. Just falling out of my ears here, just as we ramble about things. So company color palettes, how much time, what should we be styling? I think you spend the time on the things that are a bit harder to style and things that are tedious to change. I think, Tommy, you made a good point. On the cards, I use cards pretty much on every visual, on every page. They seem to show up somewhere. The formatting of them makes sense, right? If most of the cards are going to be one decimal, let's set that and forget about it, move forward. Seth, I think you made another great point around the fonts. What should fonts be across multiple visuals? And if you look at the standard visual, when you drop a visual on, you'll notice that the X and the Y axis and the labels at the top potentially have different fonts. I think DIN is one of the fonts that are used around the visual, but Segoe UI is used for like the text boxes. So you're actually mixing and matching fonts on the report page. That may or may not be cool per your governing standard. So I think fonts are another area where you would spend time doing this. And I think tables are one of the harder things to stylize so that they look good in general. And I think those are the ones that I play around with the most to spend time trying to format that correctly. So those are the places I think from a corporate standard, I would try to influence first. I'm going to pose a little bit of a conflict or where I see this falls apart. Once you set the theme file, once you've got it done and you put it to a report and you publish the report, you now have no way of updating that after the fact. You have to go back to the report. You have to go adjust the theme file and put it back in the report.
And so, make sure everything jives.
And make sure everything jives. So that's one thing that there is really not clear is like, can I apply? So I'm going to play maybe devil's advocate here or dream big here for a minute, right? What if I didn't have to style any properties on any of my reports? What if I didn't touch, what if I focused solely on grabbing visuals and adding data to those visuals and the theme file did everything else? And then once I had the theme file completed, what if I could publish 10 reports and automatically apply one theme file to all those reports? To me, that would make a lot more sense because the amount of time that I've spent with Seth and, doing these custom formatted things and making sure that each report is conforming to a standard and someone didn't click a button, we don't have Git control on knowing which settings changed. We can't decompress the files really well to know who adjusted what in the report. So we kind of have to just look at the report and see if it looks different or not. So I think there's something to say here for peanut butter spreading across an entire organization, do less work stylizing things and do more work on the theming side so that just happens across multiple reports.
That's a lot to unpack. I'm going to back up a little bit from one of the things you said in the beginning, I think is
20 minutes ago.
It's prompting me to make, I think, a distinction, right? Like, yeah. How much time do you spend in between all these different areas? And I think, are we talking about a general report, right? Just you're going to do some simple things, create consistency, save some time, and that's what's going out the door all for the majority of reports. Or is this a wow report? Mm-hmm. Is it something that is going to, like, you're going to invest some more front end, work in? Because understanding those two levels changes the answer to Tommy's question, right? Because if Tommy, you're like, I have a wow report for this application and I just want to, you know, change the color theme over to this one. To Mike's point, that's not changing three colors. What you're doing is you're picking your three colors, and then the 8 or 9 or 10 other colors are all dictated on those three main primary colors.
Correct.
So there's a lot of color theory that can go into the theme, which would also correspond then to any changes you made in the layout, in the backgrounds and, and other objects of the report page. So it can get really involved with a simple change.
Correct. Right?
While the consistency may remain in font and what properties you've set, you know, so it's still valuable, there could be a lot more updating you do in the theme itself. One of the things I want to mention in here, that now that we're like 35 minutes into the conversation, for people who haven't used themes before, the number one important thing to remember is you have to apply the theme to the report before you start building objects, or when you're building out the objects, don't modify the properties.
Yep.
Because if you modify the properties, then any theme that gets applied to the report is not going to override what you manually set within the PBIX.
There's an order of precedence.
Right.
Right. So theme file, good, then manually change settings.
It's good from the standpoint that if you want to create a unique thing, you can, and it's not going to get overridden. It's bad if you wanted 95% of your, you know, if you touch all of the other objects on the page and you wanted everything else to be updated, it's not going to be.
Right. Yeah.
So, or it prompts the, my theme file's not working.
Yeah, I've heard that too. Yes. Yeah. Why doesn't my theme file change anything? Well, it's because it's not reset to default, because you've overridden the default properties. Yeah, correct. And that's a really good distinction. The theme file is the default properties. And there's other cool things in there, the theme file, that we haven't talked about, right? Icon sets. That's where you put icon sets. So if you're making an icon, or you want to use it in a table in a matrix, you can add icon sets in there, and you can also add links to GIFs that, if you want your little icon to animate, you can add a link to a publicly available URL that has a GIF in it. So you can actually add images into that, into those things on and either links to them. And I think you can also add binaries to them as well. So you can add other things as well, not and SVGs. All those are examples. Actually, I'll go grab the article for that one. So we did a whole article around that. And that's another thing that I'd like to add into, like, the theme generator, right? Here's a custom GIF gallery of things that we've built. Here's, you know, add your own GIFs, images, SVGs here, and then those then can be added into the pool of, hey, here's all the assets that you can use for building icon sets inside visuals, which is also, I think, pretty cool as well.
And I think you guys actually raised a very unique or interesting idea in terms of the complexity of a theme, but do you think there, for anyone who's developing a theme, and again, whether it's one company theme or whatever the case may be, to you, is there like a minimum required amount of configuration that needs to be done? I think a lot of people usually just focus on the color palette and some of the fonts, right? But what do you think, is there a standard in terms of what you'd expect, where it's actually like the table, like column headers, subtotals, data card, all those different, you know, complexities, the minimum, max and middle, is that, do you think that should be at least like always configured, or is that too much?
Sorry, Tom, you asked a great question. And Joe put a hilarious comment on the YouTube channel. So I was talking about adding GIFs to, or GIF or GIFs into things. And Joe goes, I love putting GIFs in my report. And eye rolling GIF is used when they try to export. I'm like, yes.
Send it to me. Send it to me. It's going in all my reports.
You have to
blog about it.
Right in your external facing production reports.
As soon as you hover the cursor over where you're going to export to Excel, you know, the eye roll automatically shows up. Are you sure you want to do this? Are you sure?
You're not in the Jurassic Park. You didn't say the magic word.
Love it. I love it.
So do I need to ask the question again?
Yes, you do. Okay. We totally got off on a tangent there.
No problem. Thanks, Joe. Appreciate that. that goes for our episode 100. We'll just talk about great GIFs for Power BI.
Yeah, great GIFs. Yes.
Creating fashion. But basically, is there? Do you guys think there's a minimum required amount of work that needs to be done on a theme? A lot of people just do the color, you know,
yep.
color palette and the fonts, but and or background. But do you think that there should be? Is there a marginal benefit or significant more benefit to really configuring the data card, the table, bar chart, backgrounds, shadows, like great having question. That all configurable?
Yep.
Or where does it where does that value kind of drop off?
I mean, initially, the vast majority of the heavy hitting things that just make a difference are can be set as top level, right? Pick a font, pick a thing, you know, like create consistency in your top level things. If you're gonna do the bare minimum, it would probably take you 15 to 20 minutes to set up a theme to just use universal things right. across the board.
Yeah.
And not muck with the properties of any object. To Mike's point that he made earlier, if you're constantly creating tables or you're constantly using bar charts, like pick the 2, 3, 4 objects that you're always building and then go nuts with it, like, or create some consistency in there in the themes. The challenge there is if you don't go down the road further or you're creating something that's going to be widely used, somebody's going to add an object on there that doesn't have the pre-formatted, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
That's not going to match. So there's a balance in there, but super fast and easy. There's universal application of a lot of these properties that just go right. across the board and would be a very yep. simple, straightforward starting place mm-hmm. for, you know, this is our basic theme. Everybody should just start here, and it uses those things across the board.
That's a great question. So I would say one of the techniques that I use, and this may be of some value, maybe people may like that, whatever. Inside desktop, you can go in and you can modify the theme a little bit, right? There's some general properties that you can go modify inside the tool itself. What you can do is, what I typically would do is I would start a brand new file. I go into the theme area, and then I would edit the color classes and edit theme. So I do the editing of theme. I'd pick maybe, because in there, they have like color classes, the text classes, and there's some other just general properties that I just like to adjust. So I like going through those settings once and making sure for a client, we've got those dialed in. Once I have that, then I'll export the theme file from that. So that gives me like the baseline of like, here's some of the color things. And it even sets things like the sentiment colors, like what means bad, what means neutral, what means good. You can do some things there that are also, I think, relevant. And I think so I work on a lot of clients. And so I have a lot of different opinions around what the report should look like. Between clients, I'm probably not changing a lot of those sentiment colors. I'm probably picking like one or two variations. So they don't change that much. But I think it's relevant to go through that, at least that initial exercise, because that cleans up, you know, 60 to 70% of what I need to adjust on a regular visual by visual basis. And then from there, I'll work on like the color palette, and then I'll go to theme generator, grab a color palette from there, and probably grab the colors that I want. And from that, that's pretty much what I do. And then the only ones that I think I either adjust a little bit are some of those global properties, right? You know, header bar off, header off. Like there's a couple ones that I just like to turn off in general that are across all visuals. Cause it just doesn't, I just find myself consistently clicking that button. And if I can just save myself a couple clicks in every single report I'm building, it just saves me long time in the long term. So those are the kind of areas I think that we would get your best bang for your buck. And that maybe is an hour, maybe less. If you get good at it, you got some, you know, one thing you'll find is you're going to have oodles of JSON theme files hanging around a folder somewhere, and you're just going to kind of browse through them and figure out, oh, I like this section from this one. Oh, I had that I property from that one. And that's also something that we'd like to solve in the theme generator, is being able to like let you save and collect all the themes that you created on the TIPS theme generator. So that way you have this ability of being able to like, oh, here's my library of all the things that I've built. Here's all the tables that I've built previously. Let me just see all the styled properties of those and pick the one that I want. Did that answer your question, Tommy?
I think that's kind of right on point. I have a few of mine that I think that are kind of underlooked, but have been proven to be very helpful. And I think that's why Matt Rudy's and your theme generator are so essential. Matt Rudy's, because again, especially like the new button configuration, right? Like disabled, on, hover. Like he has each of those and all that configuration, or the visual header tooltip enabling that. Mm-hmm. So that or the new tooltip with having that custom background. Like that's been actually really helpful for us where like right now, if you want on a visual, want to add a visual header tooltip, like that little question mark that shows up and then put some text in. Like it's kind of difficult or tedious to do for every visual if you want to do like a little explainer. That's and creating that in the theme one saves you so much time, and but also it really helps rather than that just that black background. But I agree with you where there are, I think they're depending on the needs at your company or what you're using, look into additional configuration for your visuals, because unfortunately for now, like I have to rely on Matt Rudy's, because he has for each visual a JSON file and like all the intricacies. So you're like, oh, okay, I think I could do that. And so kind of that mix between the theme generator and that, it's kind of a lot of work. But when you actually take the time to understand how it all works together, mm-hmm. it makes it a lot easier to create themes. But also, like I said, I can't tell you some of the little nitpicky things that I actually updated in the themes that I realized had made the reports just so much more, we'll call professional across
like,
the board.
Like what would be a couple
such
things?
What
would be the couple things that you would hit that would say, make it professional?
So I think it's background, shadow, text box.
And then shadow on or off?
Well, having the features enabled for when you want it on.
Okay, so for certain visuals have a shadow, certain visuals don't, yeah.
Well, not even that. So you can basically enable like the global shadow style, but just have it off, like the default off. So when you turn it on, everything that you want for the shadows, like pretty much pre-configured.
Yep, exactly.
So that's another cool thing you could do too, is set some values as off, but mm-hmm. have the configuration on, so you can have all that. You don't have to go.
The configuration's correct every time you use it.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Sometimes you'll do a drop shadow where it's angled at a direct, like it's like
exactly
on an angle. Other times you'll have it like centered and underneath the visual itself. Yeah. That's a really good point too.
Right. And like the data card, we always have like the background is always a solid with certain color, but usually we add it like with our banner. So we usually have it the background off, but when I want to turn it on, everything's already ready to go.
And one thing I really like with the background pieces is you can add a background as a base 64 image inside the theme file. So you can drop in your own background, which means you can bring an image in the theme file for all your visuals. That's cool. One thing that Seth and I kind of coined, we started like using a lot, and we're probably not the first ones to do this one, but I think we're probably the most vocal about it, is making backgrounds that are a PNG is really relevant, because once you have a PNG background, you can change the background color of the page. And then when you have a PNG, you can actually have transparency. So the background image of the page can have some sort of transparency. So then the page can have a color. The background can have an image on top of it. And then you can add shading to that image. So now you can get like gradients that come across your report page. And that's one of the reports that I built that's publicly available, is the ideas.powerbay.com report. That ideas report has one of those transparent backgrounds on it. So you actually see the background of the report is just yellow, bright yellow, but then I have applied some white header bars to the bottom and the top to kind of make sure that it's still white page. And then I have a gradient applied across the background. So you can actually see it. The yellow kind of starts with a brighter color at the top and kind of slowly darkens itself down to the bottom right-hand corner. So I think, Tommy, to your point, right, that's a minor tweak to what's going on here, but like that is a really interesting way of being able to handle that.
So I don't think you guys, I know we kind of talked about this. Oh, we got, I asked the question, but if you were would you create a theme or at least a color palette that a theme was based on, like fonts, you know, defaults kind of a same across a company or across a client, but would you create more than one theme if there's a need, like for different teams or different products? Would you see a need for different color palettes?
Different products. So you're thinking like inside a company, I have different products, and then for each of those products,
however the organization. Yeah,
that's an interesting question. I think it depends on like the branding of your organization, right? I think some companies have different product brands. And maybe it's the size of your organization. Like if let's just say this, let's say you have customers who are products, right? And you have I don't know how I would handle that. I would say yes. I think there are use cases where you could have that. Your organization is large enough. I'm thinking like Johnson Controls. Johnson Controls has this Optima brand. When I worked there, it was very different color branding than like other products that they had for other clients or other things. I also think when you're doing reporting for clients, that's when you start seeing multiple color themes show up, right? Because, hey, I'm working with a Walmart, or I'm working with like an Amazon, or I'm working with someone else, right? When you're working with those companies, they expect to see their data in a way that relates to them. So I think when you're, you know, internally, maybe I do one color theme. It's part of my organization. We're done, you know, kind of thing. When I'm looking externally though, I think to show off, you know, what our team can do, I'm customizing it. I'm building them something that they want. I think it's worth the time to make sure it fits their branding scheme.
That's while we're talking through here, and the multiple brands kind of thing, that's where the power of I think themes and that PNG template kind of thing come through, right? Because you could you could develop a standard template for both of those, right? No color in the PNG, you just have some gradients, and then you're changing the background colors all the time, right? Along with the theme, and you replace a logo. Right. So you get the same consistency across different brands and color themes and things like that. So there's a lot of repeated work that you could have in there as well.
Yeah. I mean, the scanner API repo that I had, someone had an issue because this ties in, but they're like, hey, the JSON doesn't load because it says the JSON file is too large. I said, okay, well, how many data sets are you trying to scan? He's like 6,000.
Whoa.
And I'm like, well,
there's a lot going on there.
I had some other questions, but I didn't know how to ask.
That's a lot of stuff, though.
Right. I mean, but like, even if you're a company who had 200 reports, are they all going to have the same, color palette? To me, I don't think so.
And that's also, too, where I think, like, does that need to happen, though? Like, this is where you what drives, again, I'm gonna go back to Matthew Roach's pyramid. Like, the pyramid is, again, like, at the top, there's a couple reports, a handful of reports that need a governed standard. There's a governing body around who's producing them. That's coming from, it's a certified data set. We've spent a lot of time making it look good. Maybe that's where we're putting the theme files for the company. On the other hand, there's a lot of ungoverned or user-driven stuff at the bottom of that pyramid. I don't think all those reports need a theme file all the time. I mean, you may be just happy just putting a couple of visuals on a page and that meets your business need. You don't need to go to the nth degree on the themes file. I think it really is going to depend on like your use case.
Okay.
I'd also say, I think it really is. I mean, for me, it's really around audience, right? What is the audience of that thing, right? Is the audience going to be very picky to this stuff, or are we just kind of generally, is it an internal team, thing, right? How does that look?
You can get away with a lot more in internal.
Oh, yes, you can. Yes, you can. Stuff doesn't have to be aligned as well. You can just kind of put stuff on it. I mean, I've seen many different kinds of reports, but I mean, even though the ones that don't look so good, they're still super functional. Like, that's what people are driving their daily business decisions on. Those reports can add value. They don't need it to look great. It needs to be data modeled together and refreshed every day. That's what they need it to do. And so, like, that to me, that's like a really value add for the company.
And that's where the generic theme fits really well.
Yeah, right? Like, exactly.
Create something simple that creates consistency, follow. Boom, done. And it's part of the principles of creating, good looking reports without all the fuss.
Totally would agree. Well, I think we've kind of hit the roughly right around the 1 hour mark. So with that, I think we should give it a wrap. So for those of you who enjoy the podcast and found some value from it, hopefully there's a couple nuggets in here that you might incorporate to your daily workflow. Probably all Michael's random ramblings and thoughts and the rabbit trails that happen. Maybe one of them put a smile on your face. We hope so. So our only ask for you who have watched the podcast and enjoy the content here is just do us a favor. Just share it with one other person. Reach out to somebody and let them know that you enjoyed this, and this might be content they will enjoy as well. Tommy, where else can you find the podcast?
So if you're watching live right now, we're going to put all of the links, so the theme generator, the repo, and then a few tools in the episode description. So make sure to subscribe on Apple and Spotify. And to listen at any time, we'll go back to all of our 64 episodes and kind of binge. We know some people do. If you're listening right now, join the conversation on YouTube and LinkedIn. Just follow Power BI Tips on the previous platforms.
64 hours. That's longer than a work week. You could listen to us for a whole week during work and still not get to the end of our yammering. That's kind
no
of a
sleep. Yeah, just yeah, that
kind would, of a little bit mind blowing.
Everybody insane.
One full day of two full days of content already. So that's amazing. Cool. Well, thank you all very much. We appreciate you very much as the audience. We love the Power BI community. You guys are doing a great job. Thank you for participating. We'll see you next week.